The Errol LaBorde Show on New Orleans Real Talk, AM 690, WIST.
You're listening to the Errol LaBorde Show. What an incredible first part of the year it has been in New Orleans economically, and a good bit of it have to do with professional sports, that and Mardi Gras. With me is Bill Curl, who's the coordinator for media relations for SMG. SMG, of course, manages the Superdome and the arena. That's his title. I also think of him as the go-to guy when I need information about sports business. He's been on the scene for a good while in New Orleans. He's been done a lot of public relations in sports, and the guy just has a really good concept of what's going on. So, hello, Bill.
Good morning.
Delighted
it is to talk to you.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. Well, first of all, we all know what a success the All-Star Game was, and I know you were optimistic about it. Was it better than you expected?
Well, it was certainly as good as anybody could expect. It was a fantastic weekend. It was an absolute triumph for the city of New Orleans.
You know, another triumph that I don't think people realize, because we tend to be fairly cynical about government and government decision-making, but the whole concept, and I don't know who the first person was, and maybe you know whose idea it was, who advanced it, to build the arena. What a brilliant idea it was, and part of that made it work is that it could be done. It was done fairly inexpensively because it used Superdome land, it used Superdome bonds, a Superdome air conditioning system, Superdome parking, and so you could build an NBA class arena not too expensively.
Yeah, when you tell people we build this maybe for about $114 million, and now we put about $20 million worth of improvements into it as part of our agreement with the Hornets to bring NBA basketball to New Orleans. But even at that price, even if you look at it in the $135 million range, compared to some of these buildings that are going up now that are well over $200 million for very similar arenas, we're going to heck of a deal here.
If someone was building a standalone arena where they had to do their build their own parking facilities, their own air conditioning, and that is part of the genius of our arena, how it is able to use so much of what the Superdome has.
You're right, and it's complimentary for events as well. Just as recently as this weekend, we use the Superdome for feeding the media and for some rehearsal sessions to get ready for NBA All-Star. And, of course, when we have some big events at the Superdome, there may be something in conjunction, a pregame party like they did for the Sugar Bowl, getting ready for the game, that sort of thing. It's done over at the arena, so they complement each other very well.
So whose concept was the arena? Who first advanced the idea?
Well, there's not a father of the arena, as you associate. Dave Dixon stands out alone. He's a man without whom we might not have a Superdome today.
Right.
And there's not a one individual or group of individuals that you can really credit with the arena. It was kind of fostered off of need and several people who were far-thinking enough to say, hey, let's go ahead and do this thing and get it done.
Give me some names.
Well, I honestly don't recall who some of the people were. There were not specific planning sessions way back while the arena was conceived. Certainly the architecture of it plays into it. The use of the land plays into it. But to go back to be sure about who you can justifiably credit for the arena, I'm not sure who that would be.
You know, I thought that one of the most dangerous movies in terms of triggering failed public policy has been the movie Field of Dreams, with that line, if you build it, they will come. It's not true. It's not true necessarily that if you build it, they will come. And all across the country, people built things and they didn't come. And when we built the arena here, I started thought, man, this looks like we're being too influenced by this, but I'll be damned, they came.
Yes, they did. You know, NBA was certainly in mind with the arena. There were portions of the arena that were left undeveloped with the anticipation of NBA basketball in the locker room areas where the super suite is up now overlooking the arena floor, some abilities of the building to be improved and upgraded in the club rooms, the addition of the courtside restaurant, those sort of things were improvements that were enabled in the construction and the thought of the building.
And the building in its short lifetime has already had a distinguished history.
Well, it has. We've had a great run of events over there, a great mix of events, and it's become part of what's presented here in New Orleans. And entertainment has been going great guns. Our concerts have been going way ahead of expectations. It's enabled us to book more concerts. We're in a very, very busy run right now that started in December and is extended through the spring. And that's all just great news. You know, this is a city that part of the lower part of the legend of New Orleans is its great music, and to have a first-class venue where we can present musical events. And how can you top what was done during the NBA All-Star weekend when they brought in so many great New Orleans performers and just absolutely showcased our music to a worldwide audience?
That halftime show was quite a showcase.
It was. It was magnificent music. You know, Harry Connick and the whole gang of people that performed in that thing. And again, to think that was played. There were 44 language originations on that telecast in over 200 foreign countries. What a time for the world to take a look at New Orleans and see that, you know, the good things in New Orleans are back.
Now, the whole situation with the Hornets and the attendance guidelines, do you feel optimistic that this will be achieved?
I think I'm more than optimistic. I think it's almost a no-brainer. The people are responding. If you could have heard the noise last night at that game, what a great win it was for the Hornets. And that will continue. We've got a great spate of games right now. And as the Hornets are in that final playoff run and that excitement continues to build, the audience is going to be there. These people are catching on to this basketball team. It's a terrific, exciting team.
And I think New Orleans is getting a bit of a bad rap with the attendance. I mean, after all, the team wasn't away from here for 2 years, and then the year before that, it was a terrible team. It only won, I believe, 16 games. And so it's really been like 4 years since Hornets basketball was here and interesting.
The real mindset, you're correct, is to reconstitute that thought that this is our team. This is New Orleans' team. This is not a team that came in from Charlotte. This is not a team that moved to Oklahoma City for understandable reasons, that has played in absentia, that, you know, is finally here for a full year, and we're still in the process of getting our arms around it. But you know what? We watch a game on the road, and we see them out there, and that's our team that's playing against that team in San Antonio, or that team in L.A., or that team in Utah. We say, man, that's New Orleans team out there. And we're watching it in the bars, and we're having home parties, and we're watching it. We're getting behind them. Hey, the fever's catching on, baby. It's coming right now.
As fans become familiar with the players, that helps too. The players on the team, I think maybe with one exception or so, are not the same that were here 3 years ago. And so it's taken relearning to be familiar with the team and to be able to say, well, why don't they bring so-and-so off the bench? You know? Why don't they put Paige in the game? That sort of thing. I mean, that's when sports becomes fun, when you know the team, when you know the players, and you can become conversant about it.
Oh, sure. There's that fan level of pulling for specific players, for the stars of the team, the people that the kids idolize, that kind of thing. Sure, that's an important part of it. And we've got such terrific people on this team now. We've got a coach and players who've been so reactive to this community and its needs and have gotten involved in helping, not just for show, not just for the photo op, because these are really good people that want to help and want to see this city come back. And then all of the tremendous number of activities that happened put together by the NBA people that Friday, that they had people scattered out all over this city. In rebuilding projects, and the awareness that brought around the world that there is still a need here. Basketball has taken a lead in this market. Right now, it's a hot prospect.
Chris Paul is an unbelievable human being. I mean, first of all, he's an incredible player, but I don't know if you saw the quote in the Washington Post last week when he was talking about the other NBA players, and he said something in effect that, yeah, I really appreciate that these other players here and that they see what's going on in New Orleans and that they understand it. But when they leave, I'm still here. I'm my home. This is my hometown, and this is what I have to work to support. And so, I mean, that may not be a fair representation of his words, but in effect, what he was saying, this is my place. I mean, this is the place that I'm trying to make better. And I thought it was just very, very touching.
You know, you got a really great person there. This is not somebody that a knowledgeable person is pulling the strings on his quotes and telling him exactly what to say to be politically correct or to say the things that will win fans for him or that kind of thing. That's the way Chris Paul is. He is sincere. And that sincerity comes across when he talks and when he acts. And if you watch him on the court, he not only plays with enthusiasm, he plays with pure joy. He loves the game. He loves to play. He loves to dish out that assist, as you can tell.
Right.
his assist are as spectacular as his shots. And he just makes the game really fun to watch.
Now, I watched the game last night. Of course, I watched it on television, and I was able to because I don't live on the North Shore. That doesn't look like it's going anywhere, does it?
Well, I don't know what's going on there. That is severely tragic. I feel for the people over there to not only miss the Hornets games, but a lot of the other sports product that they're not getting. I don't know what the inner workings are. I know it's very damaging to the future of the Hornets and building that fan base. Every game they miss is just another missed opportunity.
I think it's ego among cable companies that Charter doesn't want to be carrying a sports package that originates from Cox.
Well, it's unfortunate. You think that Charter, if that is the case, has some vested interest in the people who pay the freight and live in the North Shore, and that their interests ought to be answered and forget about this company versus company stuff. I don't know what the dollars are in the thing. But get it over with and get it the heck done. I mean, this has gotten ridiculous, and you see more and more people are trying to help and trying to get involved from either the public official side or now the NBA. But somebody somehow has got to get these people to move and make a decision, accept an offer, and get it done.
I don't think Charter's coming out of this looking very good.
Oh, no. No, I don't think so either.
But the deal with the Hornets and the state is, yeah, this attendance level, 14,500 by the end of next year, they need to reach that average, or the Hornets have the option of leaving if they want to. Don't say they will, they said they have the option. Now, if by the end of next season, if they're not quite there, but if they're like in the 14,000, I wouldn't think they would exercise that option.
Well, I don't think so at all. First of all, that number, it's interesting the way it was derived. That was the average attendance of the team prior to Katrina. So that's a very achievable goal because it was a semi-successful team there. It wasn't a phenomenally great team, and obviously that last season it was not a good team. So that is a reachable mark. It's a low attendance by NBA standards, so it's not a ridiculous goal. It's like 80% of capacity. The point of the number is simply to give us something to shoot for, something to work with, and not have it just a mystery. You know, if the Hornets are going to stay, people want to know what the cause is, what the measurement is, what do we have to do. And now there's a goal to do that. And to reach that average by having high attendances at the rest of the season and the start of next is very doable. My gut on it, I think, while the number is a measuring stick, it's not a make or break point. If they fall just a little bit short of that goal, well, they'll negotiate the deal a little bit more. They'll get back to the table and say, hey, let's talk about this thing. Remember, George Shinn moved this team from Charlotte. Then he had to move it from New Orleans to Oklahoma City. Then he moved from Oklahoma City back to New Orleans. He doesn't want to leave. First of all, he really likes his town. You know, he loves living in New Orleans, wants to live here permanently. This is his only business. He doesn't travel around the country to do something else or have headquarters elsewhere or even businesses or offices elsewhere. This is what he does. He wants this team to be successful. He wants it to be successful here.
I've heard him say that, and I think he sounded very sincere about that.
I think
that.
He absolutely is sincere.
I've been reading some of the newspaper coverage in Seattle, And of course, Seattle, they have that big issue with the possible loss of the Supersonics. The owner of the Supersonics is from Oklahoma City and wants to move to Oklahoma City. And when you read the sports column, it's part of what they're counting on, or at least hoping on, is that the Hornets don't make the attendance levels, and that Shin sells to Clay Bennett, the guy who owns the Sonics, and then moves the Hornets to Oklahoma City. And I think these guys in Seattle just don't understand the situation. First of all, I don't think George Shin would ever sell the Hornets.
Well, George, no, I don't think he would either. And remember that he has sold a minority interest to Gary Schwest, who's an outstanding guy, a very, very nice person, you know, an area businessman. He bought the team because he wants it to be successful here. He bought the team in an effort to get more businesses in New Orleans involved in the Hornets and sponsorship packages and buying suites and that sort of thing. And Gary Schwest is not going to own any piece of a basketball team in Seattle, Washington, or any place else than right here in New Orleans. So the first thing is Shin would have to come up with a wherewithal to buy out Gary Schwest before he could sell the team. And he don't want to go through all that. This is not designed, it's not planned, it's not the direction of doing that. And I think a failed situation in Seattle, I don't know who'd want to get involved in that.
We tend to measure success by attendance, but despite attendance, aren't the Hornets doing well financially anyway? I mean, they have a great deal with the state. The sales of suites, from what I understand, has been very good. They have some sponsorships, major sponsorships, so it seems like there's a lot of money coming in.
Well, the interesting thing about the deal with the state is the deal, if you will, fluctuates with the success of the Hornets. What I'm trying to say is within certain limitations, if things get worse for the Hornets, the state will ante some more money to help them out. But there's also a point where if the Hornets are doing well, the state's inducement payments got down to nothing. So it's a good deal for the state, because if the support is really there for the Hornets and they start to fill the house and those numbers, that bottom line comes up, then the state doesn't have to contribute.
Okay. I have no doubt that locals can feel passionate about the Hornets. I guess nagging in the back is always the economic issue. With the population base here and with the monetary base, I mean, do you feel that we have a base here that can support NFL and NBA?
I do. It's tough. It's a stretch, but you know, I was amazed that the Saints sold out on a season basis 2 years ago, weren't you?
Yeah.
I mean, that was an incredible accomplishment.
Yeah.
And now a second year in a row of sellouts for the Saints. That means the audience is here for sports. And does that mean just those other people left over are enough to support an NBA basketball team? No, but those people who support the Saints certainly have the wherewithal to throw some support in the direction of the Hornets as well.
How far are we away from the state coming to terms with Tom Benson about the stadium?
Oh, there's considerable amount of negotiating to do, but I think it's going to happen in a fairly short time.
And this is
let me get back to the Hornets for just a second.
Sure.
I want to make a point about the business support for the Hornets. I think where the things have dramatically turned just in the last few weeks is the awareness of the Hornets and the success and the excitement of the Hornets has become such an attraction that those businesses who can buy either a small package of tickets for the rest of the season or a few games or just one game. Let's say you're a small businessman and you buy 20 tickets for an upcoming Hornets game and you have 50 employees and you send out a notice to your employees that you've got 20 tickets and the first 20 to call you will get the tickets, they'll kill for those tickets. They'll be all over your desk. They'll be after you. They want those tickets. If you buy the tickets and use them as an incentive, if you use them for entertainment of a client, and you tell your client, look, I've got a couple of tickets for you for a Saints game, man, he'll take them. He can use them. He wants them. The tickets have become a desirable thing. They are now a much more valuable commodity in the community in that respect, not just buying tickets, but buying tickets and using them effectively.
I tell you, for a city our size and for income, I think we've done remarkably well to have an NFL team, an NBA team, an Arena Football League team.
Well, you know what? We are now getting to a new height, I believe, We've always had that reputation as a great sports town for the big event, for the Super Bowl, for the Final Four. We host it better than nobody can do. We've got better facilities, more convenience than anybody has. We've got better entertainment, better infrastructure with the CVB and the Sports Foundation and our local teams and the people that get involved in those events and make them the very best they can be. We've had that reputation for quite a long time. We are now coming on with the reputation of being a good sports town. Okay. This for the sports fan. You look at what the sports fan has had on his plate in the last few months and what he's got coming up. You know, we talked in to some degrees about the NBA All-Star game being the culmination of a run of great events. It's not over, baby. We've got the women's regionals coming, a likelihood of LSU playing in that. We've got the Arena Bowl coming back after they left Vegas to come here last year and liked it so much they within weeks they voted unanimously to come back. We've got that coming back. We've got the Voodoo starting.
Yeah, the Arena Bowl and the NBA All-Star Game both came here after bad experiences in Las Vegas. And they come here and they say, you know, we did it better. Bill, it's been fascinating talking to you. I regret I'm running out of time. If you don't mind, I'm going to call you back from time to time. I love talking about this kind of stuff.
Let's do it, Earl.
And congratulations on the work you're doing. Thanks to all of you for listening. Thanks, as always, to Daniel French at the controls. We'll be back again next week, and y'all keep on believing. Bye-bye.
The Errol LaBorde Show, presented by New Orleans Magazine and New Orleans Real Talk. AM 690 WIST.